Okay, good evening, everyone. I don't know what the topic officially was called for way back when in the Kesher, but the new topic as of today is what's all the commotion, booing, stomping, and yelling in Megillah reading? So what I want to explore with you is, as far as every community I've been to, every Megillah reading I've ever heard, and I've been to, you know, different types of shuls, but every shul I've been to, at least to some extent, people either boo, you know, they stamp their feet, they clap, occasional gun cap pop thinging, you know, going on. People do stuff during Haman. There's 54 times, I think, that Haman is mentioned. And this minhag is very, very interesting. It certainly gets people excited for the Megillah reading. At the same time, it's, I'd say, maybe the bane of many shul rabbis or people who just want to fulfill their mitzvah, and then people are yelling and screaming, and they can't actually hear the Megillah. So how important is it that you actually hear the Megillah? So if you look at source 1, Tzarech Likros, the Shulchan Aruch says in Tafresh Tzadi, Tzarech Likros HaKula, you have to read the entire Megillah, Mitoch HaKsav. And you have to read also Mitoch HaKsav, you have to read from a klaf, from a scroll, Vimkara Al Peh Lo Yatzah. If you read the whole thing Al Peh, or if you read the whole thing from a Chumash, that's considered Al Peh, so then you wouldn't fulfill your obligation. So says the Mishnah Berurah, a very important line about that first part, about Tzarech Likros HaKula, that you have to read the entire thing. V'das Rov HaPoskim, Shafil Im Chiser Min Rak Teva Achas Lo Yatzah. You miss even a single word from the Megillah reading, so you're out of luck. You just missed the whole mitzvah. So it's worth thinking about, where did this mitzvah come from? Why is it so important, or is it so important? And why are we doing that when there's such a big risk? If you know, things get a little too rowdy, the person keeps booing a little bit too long, and you miss the Megillah reading. So is this so important? Where did this come from? That's what I want to go and look into tonight. So what's the earliest source we have for this? So the earliest source we have is from the Sefer HaManhig. The Sefer HaManhig was written by Rav Avraham ben Nathan Hayarchi. He's from Provence. This is a 13th century work. His Sefer gets quoted here and there in Shulchan Aruch, but he quotes a lot of just customs and minhagim which we had, which are always very interesting. So he records this minhag going back, we're talking 800 years already, that this minhag at least has already been recorded. He says, Kachaya minhagam. This was their minhag, Bishum Zecher Tzadik Livracha V'Shem Hashem Yirkav. Sorry, that was the end of the sentence, but that end of the sentence is important for the rest of the sentence. So whatever minhag he's referring to, they would do this because of this idea of Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that whenever we mention someone who is righteous, so we should say Livracha, we should bless him, V'Shem Hashem Yirkav. And another pasuk which says that the names of the wicked should rot. The Alkein Minagatinokos Bitsarfas, so therefore the custom of the children in France, U Provencia, and in Provence, so Akachas Chaluke Hanachal, they would take smooth stones from the riverbed. The Lichtov Alayam Haman, what would they do? So good kindergarten activity, they get right Haman on top of their little smooth stones. Umakishin Zualzu, and they whack them together, Kishahakore Mazkir Haman. When the person who would the person, the Megillah reader would say Haman, they'd whack them together, Virisho, and Mazkir Haman Virisho, whenever they would mention Haman and his Rishos, V'Shem Hashem Yirkav V'Shalom. And so the name of the wicked should rot, and that will bring peace. So that's what the Manhig says. This is a very old minhag, and the reason is because whenever we mention, the same way nowadays colloquially we say let's say Hitler, Yimach Shemo. So what we say is Yimach Shemo. Why do we say Yimach Shemo? His name should be erased. So the same idea that Shem Mishaim Yirkav, whenever we mention someone who is a total Russia, so we want to go and blot out their name. Okay, so that's the reason of the Sefer HaManhig. If you look at the Orchos Chaim, a work about a century later, Rav Aaron ben Yaakov HaKohen, so he adds another layer to it. He quotes the same exact minhag. They would take these smooth stones, and they write Haman on them, whack them together, and he says for two reasons on the second line, so first he quotes that first reason. There's another reason, because there's a mitzvah to go and do Mechias Amalek, to wipe out the name of, not just the name, but to wipe out Amalek. So what better way to do that than to write Haman on a stone? And we know Haman is Ben Ha'agagi. At the end of the day, he's a descendant of Agag, the king of Amalek. We're talking about the destruction of Haman. What better time than to go and fulfill the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek? This is not in the source sheet, but I'll just let you know, he has some really fascinating practices he talks about. He says that the children of Bavel and Elim used to make an image of Haman. They'd hang it around their necks for a few days until Purim, when they would hang the image over a fire while they jumped over the fire from side to side. I don't know why that's... It would be an interesting, fun Purim minhag to go and do something like that. We're not as excited, we just say boo. Okay. If you look at just source 4, this is the earliest reference to maybe something, which was this? Unclear if he's talking about the same thing. But in Breishis Rabbah already in, this is Rav. Rav is a first generation Amora. So Rav ki hava mati lahaman. When Rav would get to Haman, Bepurim, on Purim, Amar arur Haman the arurin banav, he would say, cursed is Haman, and cursed are his children, l'kayim ha'shenemar v'shem Rishayim Yirkav, in order to fulfill this mandate of v'shem Rishayim Yirkav. So what's unclear is this talking about during Megillah reading, or is he talking about on Purim whenever he'd, learn the Megillah, or when he was talking to his Talmidim? But it sounds like he would make if it's taken literally, so this minhag, first of all, is a long, long time ago. This is 1,500 years, we're going back. And Rav is shouting in the middle of Megillah reading. He's not banging anything together, but he would shout out, Arur Haman v'Arurim Banav, cursed Haman, and cursed are his children. Interesting. That would just be a different Megillah reading if there was always shouting out like that. We try not to say any words. The Magen Avraham in Source 5 quotes the Levush. The Levush actually says to do exactly this. Levush kasav b'shasha omrim Haman, yomar shem rishayim yirkav. When you get to Haman, so you should shout that out. That was the Levush's minhag. And Rav Moshe has tshuvas about this. Why is this not a hefsek? We try not to say words in the middle of the Megillah reading. So I don't know if anyone has that minhag, but if anyone does, so I ain't sham in Rav Moshe's tshuva. Okay, so why do we do this? So it's a very old minhag. Maybe going back to Rav, maybe not. But at the very least, it's about almost 1,000 years old. And we're trying to fulfill this idea of B'Shem Rishayim Yirkav. We're trying to say, Yimach Shemot Tahaman. And we are also trying to do this Mechias Amalek thing. The Achronim got more creative. They said, some other interesting ideas. The Chida, for instance, says, what we want to do is we want to scare away our enemies. Because outside the shul, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to hear a whole commotion. The Jews are making a whole commotion shul. They're going to say, what's going on? What are they doing? We're going to explain to them, there was this guy who tried to kill us, and we killed him, and so don't mess with us. And it's going to be a way to go and scare off our non-Jewish enemies from thinking about messing with us. Okay, so whether or not that's true or not, it's certainly very interesting. There's a very interesting allusion which the Levush finds. If you look in Source 6, the Levush says that maybe we can find, an asmachta, some sort of hint to this in the Torah itself. He says, "L'kach yishichtov lahem shem Haman al ha'itzim shemenakshim bo, la'idein akisha yimchukuhu." Fine, so you should take this word Haman, and you should put them on wood, and you should bang them together, and through that you should erase it. And he says, what's the proof to this? So Semach Ladavar, here's an asmachta to it. The pasuk in the reference to if someone is liable for lashes, so the psukim say, Behaya im bin hakot harasha, that if someone is liable for lashes, so then you're going to give him lashes. So he points out that Behaya im bin, so our sofei tevos, the last letters, I bold them for you, is hey, mem, nun. So when we say Haman, so then hakos harasha, bang, and hit the rasha together, and that's how you're going to go and fulfill this hint. That's what the psukim are hinting to us. Fine. So all that's very nice. If you look at the Ramah, all this gets into the Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah quotes, and then this is where I think things start to get interesting. The Ramah says, Od kasvu shenahagu atinokos. Again, the kids are doing this whole thing. Latzur tzur has Haman al etzim yavanim. They would make a picture. So now it's a little different. Not just the word Haman, but I don't know how they knew what Haman looked like. I guess he had a three-pointed hat or whatever it was. They draw a picture of Haman on the etzim yavanim. O lichtov shem Haman alehen. Or if you're not feeling as adventurous, they would just write the word Haman on these stones. Ulakosin zelzek kedish yimcheshmo al derech machotim chazeich amalek v'shem Rishayim Yirkav. And you're going to fulfill these two different psukim. Mizeh nishtar biv haminhag shemakim haman kishekorim hamegil b'veis haknesses. So now we're, a little bit more lazy. We don't have our stones. We don't have our writing. So now we just makeh. We just clap. We hit. We make some noise whenever the name Haman is mentioned. So here's the key line. Ve'ein levatel shum minhag olil ogalav ki lo lechinam hukbu. And we shouldn't be mevatel, we shouldn't get rid of any minhagim, or to make fun of them, because they weren't started for no reason. That's what the Ramah says. Now every time the Ramah quotes a minhag, he doesn't regularly tell you, don't get rid of this minhag. So why is he saying that? Meaning, what's he trying to get at? What's he probably responding to? Right. So Yosef, what you're saying, if I understood correctly, is what happened to Hefsek? I mean, the Ramah is responding to someone who might say, hey, this is a Hefsek. This is not a good thing for us to be doing.
Yeah,
so
I think it's actually the opposite, because you're actually in So they're just sitting you, because Megillah, like you said, it's also a tefillah, right?
Right.
So actually you're participating in giving the Megillah. It's not really a hefsek.
You're saying it's not a hefsek because you're involved in it. It's a, so certainly that's what we're relying on that. But you could see how someone would say, you know, this is a problem. What he's certainly responding to, though, is some people must have wanted to get rid of the minhag if he had to write, don't get rid of the minhag. You don't just write that unless people are causing, you know, aren't so sure about that. So we have a lot of history of people trying to get rid of this minhag. So the Magen Avraham, who's written after the Rama, but the Magen Avraham in the 1600s, source 8, he already says, Kosuv b'Mahariel, he's an earlier, he's a later Rishon, but before the Rama, Hivanti Athar Mahariel, so the Mahariel's students are writing about the Mahariel, so I understood that the Mahariel, Shaloya Choshish La'kos Haman, Mahariel would not do this. He dropped his minhag, he was not into the whole banging thing. The Alkopanim, Kishemachim Haman, Tzarech Achazen Lishtok, says the Magen Avraham, whether you do it or not, when they bang Haman, make sure that the person who's reading the Megillah is quiet. Whoever's reading the Megillah better be quiet while they read Haman. Kadesh Yishmu Kulam Kriyasa. Because what's going to happen if the Baal Kori keeps on reading and everyone's banging and making noise? So then all those people are going to miss hearing all of these keywords. The Chol Yachid Yikra Pasuk O Beis Mitocha Chomish. So here's a very interesting thing which the Magen Avraham recommends. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Everyone says that this is a good idea depending on your congregation. But they say what you should do whenever you hear Haman, one of those 54 times, when people are going to be banging, if you're in a shul where it's possible people won't quiet down before the words continue, what you should do is you should read the next pasuk to yourself from your chumash. So why should you do that? Well, let me ask another question. We said a moment ago you can't read the Megillah from the chumash. So how does it work if you're reading a Megillah from the chumash? So the answer is that the halacha by Megillah is different than by most other areas of halacha. You're allowed to read up until 50% from a chumash. You're allowed to do 50% bal peh. If you knew the whole Megillah Baal Peh, you could hear 50% of it from the Baal Koreh, and you could then, you know, fill in the other 50% by yourself. So as long as you read a pasuk, you can read a pasuk or two by yourself from the Chumash, and that's going to be just fine, certainly b'diavad. I'll tell you, this is something which sometimes I see people, I guess, don't know this halacha, but what happens if you come late to the Megillah reading? This comes up, I think, not uncommonly. Let's say you missed the first three psukim of a Megillah reading. So what I've seen, at least, is that people go, Oyvei, I guess I have to go in here, another Megillah reading, and they walk out. So the actual halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, is what you should do is you should say the brachos to yourself, right there, and then just read from the Chumash the next, whatever, catch up however many psukim until the Baal Koreh. And as long as you're only reading up to 50% of the Megillah to yourself, you can catch up a whole parak, a whole two brachim to yourself, Baal Peh, catch up to where they are, and then your Yotzei, as long as you hear the majority of the Megillah, as long as you hear the majority of the Megillah from Mitoch HaKsav. So if that ever comes up. What? Right, sometimes the Baal Koreh is so fast that you're never going to catch up. So then you're done for. But if you're, certainly I think the nighttime reading, this year we don't even have a fast during the nighttime reading. So the Baal Koreh don't have any good reason to you know, go as fast as they possibly can. So if that comes up, that's parenthetically what you should do. Okay, so the Magen Avraham already is, you know, a little bit hesitant about this. He's saying, you know, not everyone did it, and if they're making too much sound, so read a little bit to yourself to get ahead. And then you'll be yotze, even if you don't hear all the words from the chazan. 100 years later comes the Prima Gadim, Yosef Ta'omim, and he's not just, you know, a little bit ambivalent, he's really not so happy about this. He says, Mikol makom yatza scharim behefseidam. Everyone who keeps this minhag is losing the schar of keeping the minhag from what they lose out by doing it. Meaning, this is a net loss, not a net gain. Shemival b'lin harbe, because what I see is that everyone is causing so much distraction, it causes confusion, no one pays attention, they lose attention. V'ashalich tzibur yishtok bi'ot shemakin. And he says it's very important that the reader, I guess this, you know, the Balei Kriya were not informed of how to do things properly, everyone seems to be upset about this. Make sure, Baal Koreh, that you stop while they are making noise. K'moshe kasav Magen Avraham bi'osiyot test, like that Magen Avraham, which we just read, Osiyot Tes, Chaf Aleph, he says the same thing in two places. Begam ze einachon, but says the Prima Gadim, I don't even like that. Even if the Baal Koreh is going to stop and wait, I don't like that. She'asher lechatchila hafsik yoser michdei neshima, shenikrei sigeres. You shouldn't pause even as much as a breath to go and go and read the Megillah. It's a hafsik, he says. You're right, you're yotze, but why are we trying to create hafsiks? We try not to go and pause it even one breath's worth in the Megillah. So what are you doing? What are you doing going and this whole minhag, the Prima Gadim is not happy about it. So the Rama said, you know, you can't change it. And the Prima Gadim a couple hundred years later say, says, I want to change it. So obviously we're relying on something, along with Yosef, you were saying, that whacking, you know, making noise, banging your feet, etc., during Haman is part of the, we're still focused on the Kriyas Megillah. That's like part of the story, part of the drama. But the Prima Gadim isn't so excited about it. And I'll tell you, I saw online, in 1783, so the first record we have of someone banning, saying it's prohibited in the community to go and make noise in Haman, was the Portuguese congregation in Amsterdam. 1783, they made a takana. Anyone who makes noise during Megillah reading, we're throwing you out. So that would be a less exciting Megillah reading, if you ask me. But they were not the only ones. Since then, there have been many, many communities, one after another, here and there, a little spotty, but saying we are banning making any noise during the Megillah reading. And it's a motif throughout the entire Mishnah Berurah on Mikra Megillah. He is not happy about this minhag at all. If you turn to source 10, I gave you just a few places, but it's really, if you go through the Mishnah Berurahs, he's like, all the time, he's getting upset about this issue. So I guess it was a real problem in his time. But he says in source 10, the achshav b'avonoseinu harabim, nowadays now our great sins, na'apochu. He's quoting, obviously, v'na'apochu. Shilevad she'enum shomim. Not only are the people who make noise not listening, elahim mevalbalim, but they're also going, they cause so much distraction. And he's actually specifically talking about children. Shagam hagdolim einam yicholim lishmoa. Now because the kids are coming in with their groggers and all their noise and their, you know, their pop guns, etc. So now the gadolim can't hear either. Einam yicholim lishmoa v'chol biyosam hurak la'kosis haman. Why do the kids come to Megillah reading? Can you believe it? The only reason they want to come to a Megillah reading is to go and whack during Haman. That's, I think, what most kids probably do. And he says, and, you know, whoever, you're a dad, don't think you're fulfilling the mitzvah, or mother, don't think you're fulfilling the mitzvah of chinuch by bringing your kid to go and just make noise during Haman klal. What you should do if you're a good father fulfilling the mitzvah of chinuch, says the Mishnah Berurah, hold your kid there, make sure he doesn't make any noise, and tell him, pay attention. Don't move at all. So that's a, you know, that's a great way to get the kid to love the mitzvah of Megillah. Shegiya karlis kor shem haman ha'agagi rasha yakasun ha'koso kiminhago avaloshia ze ikra vaza katan beis hamidrash. Fine, you'll let him make a little bit of noise, but he better be coming there really to go and listen to the Megillah and not to just come and make noise. The next one, also Mikra Megillah, he says, v'achshav ro'ay l'chol echad shiula Megillah k'sherev likro v'lachash mila b'mila. It's a good idea for you to come with your own proper Megillah, or at the very least, the Chumash, the Efshar Lishmoa Hashatz, and read word by word, because we can't hear the person, the Baal Kore anymore. Machmas Rashu Vilbul Shemachim Be'etzim Mashmim Kol, because people are making so much noise. The Roy L'chol Yisrael Lin Hokein Mishai Chol Spiado. Everyone should have a Chumash by them to make sure they can read for when they miss the words because of what's going on with Haman. Fine. So we see, you know, there's been a lot of pushback, and I'll tell you, there's seemingly a lot of reason to be, good reason to be upset. We already mentioned that if you miss a word, so you aren't Yotze, there's something I learned, which was a bit of a shock for me, but not only if you miss a word are you not Yotze, but the way that the Levush Yisrael says, and we'll see a Be'er Halach in a moment, but many, many poskim say, is that even if you're just spacing out, even if you're just not paying attention exactly to what's saying, no noise going on, but you're just spacing out, you're thinking other things, you're thinking about your shopping list or your mishloach mandos, and you're not paying attention to what the Baal Kor is saying. So every posek I've seen in print says you aren't Yotze if you're spacing out. So I don't know, me, I always like to read the, you know, the commentary on the bottom and look around at the costumes. So says the Levush Yisrael, you shouldn't do that. And if you look at the Be'er Halacha written by the Mishnah Berurah also, so he seems to say the same thing. He says, V'yeirah edatam. So he's talking about why we have a minhag that we put away the Sefer Torah before we read Megillah. Regularly when we have Megillah, so someone, not like the Megillah, but let's say Rus or something like that, whatever it is, maybe not that, but the Haftarah, let's say. When we do Haftarah, so what do? We have someone hold a Sefer Torah, and then someone reads the Haftarah, and that's fine. But by the Megillah, we don't do that. What we do with Megillah is we first have the Sefer Torah totally returned to the Aron, and only then do we read the Megillah. So why do we do that? So he says, "V'yirad da'atam mishum deha ochez." The person who's holding it, hagam kin chayv lechavin latzei shmiyas kriyas haMegillah. The person who's holding the Sefer Torah also needs to pay attention in order to hear the kriyas haMegillah. Kid isa siman tefer shtadi yudalad vim yocha Sefer Torah biyado yehi libo ala Sefer Torah. If you're holding the Sefer Torah, what's he going to be thinking about? The Sefer Torah. So he's not. There's no noise going on over here. The Mishnah Berurah clearly assumes, if I'm spacing out, I'm thinking about the Sefer Torah, I'm not going to get my mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. So if even not paying attention is an issue, so certainly, you know, you can understand why people are a little bit hesitant about this, all the distraction caused by all the people making noise. So just, this is totally agav. So I was all concerned about this, and so I asked Rav Shechter, I said, Rav Shechter, what's the kula? And Rav Shechter said, what do you mean? There's no kula. So I was hoping for some sort of heter. I was like, but Rav Shechter, everyone does this. He was like, no, people pay attention. I was like, okay, I'm not sure. I hope everyone's paying attention. But what the poskim say is that you should keep your finger on the place. If you keep your finger on the place in your chumash, then even if you're spacing out, you're clearly spacing in enough that it's considered that you're paying attention. That way you can, if you're following along word for word, whatever it is, then even if your mind is, you know, also on your mishloach manos or on what people's costumes are, it's okay, and that's going to certainly be sufficient. So it's also, it's not just Megillah, it's also by Kiddush and other mitzvos. When someone's saying Kiddush, so you're supposed to be, you know, not walking around and thinking about other things, which I think is just natural and very hard to do otherwise. So I don't know, something, someone can find me a cool, I'd love to hear it. So far, all I've seen is that you have to be paying attention. If you're not paying attention, so then you're not going to get the mitzvah. Okay, so banging Haman happens, again, according to my search, there's 54 times that the word Haman comes up. Because of this pushback, right, we have the Ramah who says, you know, this minhag, don't even touch it, this minhag is Kodesh Kadashim, and no one should change anything. And we have the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, and then whole communities which were very concerned about this, and the Mishnah Berurah certainly seems to take their side, they're not so happy. So I saw that there's a whole bunch of compromise approaches ever taken. Anyone ever go to a Megillah reading where they didn't hit every Haman?
Like the first three.
First three only. That's interesting. I didn't see that one.
A lot of them does it for the ones with titles like
yes.
Ben-Hazah or
Haman. Right, or Harasha, Haman Harasha Hazeh. So Chabad's Minhag, they made some compromise. Only by Haman when it has an adjective or a title next to it. So that's the only ones they do. So you have to really be paying attention. It's not good enough to just hear Haman. You have to then see, does he have an attached name? So you said you saw just the first three times? That's very...
I think I've gone to that before, yeah.
Okay, very interesting. So I didn't see that. I didn't run into that, but it's not an issue. Right, you're saying someone says, stop, don't go any further. The women of Mount Sinai do what? Right, Gimel and Tet, that I've seen. I've seen in shuls which are trying to really rush through it, so they do, you know, the first and some of the last ones, etc.
First and last,
I found an actual Mari Makom for. If you look in the Ben Ishchai, source 16. So first of all, he quotes a story from Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, Kasov Hagon, Yaivitz al Aviv Hagon Zal. The Yaivitz is, Rav Yaakov Emden's father was the Chacham Tzvi. So Rav Yaakov Emden wrote about the Chacham Tzvi. So it wasn't just the children doing this over here, but the Chacham Tzvi himself would whack and would stop. B'kriyas ha-Megillah ayin sham. V'ani, says the Ben Ishchai, Raki lakos biraglayim b'shem haman harishon hakasu b'pasuk achar dvarim ha'eleh. God, Gidal, I should go over the Megillah, but whatever the word is. Hamelech Achashverosh is haman ben hamdasa agagi. So I do it on the first time when it comes up that the Melech Achashverosh raised up Haman. V'gam od sham Haman ha'acharon b'pasuk yaman ben hamdasa agagi. It's a real kol yehudim kol shev tzera. So the Ben Ishchai says, my minhag is the first and the last. I remember I was in Israel, and if my recollections are right, in the Ramban Shul, the Chorba, so they would only do the first and last. That's what my recollection is. They were like very beshita about it, only the first and last. I remember because I was making noise the second one, I noticed that everyone else was looking at me like I was a crazy person and messing them up, and they weren't so happy. So fine, that I've seen. I also saw that the Shlaz minhag is only to, the Shlaz father's minhag was only to mention to make noise during Haman's actual downfall at the very end. And the one thing I saw that apparently the Taimanim don't have this minhag at all. So if you want a community which never quite picked up this practice, the Taimanim don't make any noise at Haman, but you have this difference of different opinions, etc., about what to do. Okay, so that's the basic overview, I'd say. I guess for me, the one big question is, okay, so why is this so important? Meaning, there is a very serious halachic concern. Megillah's, we only get to do it twice a year, once, twice the same day. And it sure makes a lot of distraction. Why is the Ramah so gung-ho about keeping this minhag, which seems to have some very, very good reason to not do it? I was also thinking, what are the reasons we're doing it? We're doing it because of Shemir Shah and Yerkov, mention evil people, you should say, you know, Yimach Shemo, make some noise. And also because of destruction of Amalek. So there's another time I would have expected us to have picked up this minhag if that were true. Parsha Zachor, right? This Shabbos, when they get to Zachor, is a Shabbos Zachor, Amalek. We shall go boo, and we shall be, you know, clapping and stomping and banging together stones or say Amalek on them or something like that. You know, how come it never picked up by Amalek, but it picked up by Megillas Esther? So that was, I think it's a question worth asking. You know, is this really all that there is to this minhag? So I saw a fascinating answer I just want to share with you, and then maybe we'll wrap up. But I saw an answer from someone named Rav Yisrael Yaffa, in an article online, who was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. So he points out that if you look at this minhag in its original form, it was really all about the children. So why do we care about children? So let's just, for a moment, you know, hone in on that. What age children should be coming to Megillah? Hey, kids, 11, 10, you know, okay, so there we understand, you know, they're able to pay attention. What about when they're 5, 6, you know? When do you start bringing children to the Megillah? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch is very strange. Shulchan Aruch has two different se'ifim where he seems to say the same thing twice. And they're all in the same, it's literally the same siman, it's the same exact chapter. And the five se'ifim apart, and he seems to repeat himself. So he says first in source 12, this is in Tafresh Pei Tes, first se'if, Hakol Chayavim B'Kriyasa, everyone has to go and hear Megillah, Anashim V'Nashim, V'Gerim V'Avadim V'Shuchrarim, okay, men, women, converts, and freed slaves. Great. U'mechanchim es haktanim likrosa. And we have to do chinuch for all mitzvahs. Every single mitzvah, you have, once a kid reaches the age that they can do a mitzvah properly, they can shake a lulav, so you give them a lulav, they can put on a talis, so we don't really do that one, that's a bad example. Once they can hear shofar, pay attention to shofar blowing, so you have a mitzvah to go and train children, once they're at the age of being able to do mitzvahs, to go and do those mitzvahs. So, okay, what that age is, I don't know, 9, 10, when can a kid really sit there and pay attention to the whole Megillah reading? Not so easy. Let's throw out a number, 9, 10. I don't know exactly. We'll ask a child psychologist or something another time. Five sifim later, the Shulchan Aruch says, Minhag Tov, Lahavik Tanim, this is in Source 13, Minhag Tov, Lahavik Tanim Uktanos, it's a good practice to bring boy, male and female children, Lishmo Mikra Megillah. You should bring them to Shul. So what's he adding? I mean, he just told us that they're chayiv. Why is this a minhag tov? It's a good thing to go and bring the children. What's he trying to? What's he adding? Which I didn't already know from Sif Aleph.
Yeah, I wonder if they're not yet capable of listening to the
Megillah. Right. So I'd say the simple answer is that what he's trying to say is if they're not yet capable of paying attention to the Megillah, they're 5 or 6. It's a nice minhag to bring them to the Megillah reading. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, Lishi Tosso, that he's not happy about this whole making noise thing, he says, no, that's not what he means. What he means, we don't need to read it inside, but he says what he means is that the 10-year-olds, to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, I could have just read the Megillah at home. I, of course, know how to read Megillah. Every single person, of course, knows how to read Megillah. Not really, I have no idea how to read the Megillah. But it means you could have fulfilled the mitzvah of chinuch by reading it to your 10-year-old and 11-year-old at home, just sitting there one-on-one. But it's a minhag tov, it's a good thing not to read that to them at home, but actually to bring them to shul specifically. Make them come to shul rather than to hear it one-on-one at home. That's what the Be'er Halacha argues. And the Chelkas Yaakov and many others, they all say, no. What he means is, it's a good thing to bring children who are below the age of chinuch to shul. There's this value, unlike by all other mitzvos, we'll have to figure out why in a moment, but unlike by all other mitzvos, when we have a sukkah. So it's good, fine, in school they should teach the kids what sukkah is, but if the kid doesn't actually know how to sit in a sukkah, there's no special mitzvah to bring your 2-year-old into a sukkah and try and teach them how to sit in the sukkah. It's nice, but it's not like a value. What did you say? Beis Shammai would disagree. Beis Shammai says you got to bring even the babies into the sukkah, but we're Beis Hillel Jews over here. So maybe when Mashiach comes, that'll change, depending on whether that agadah is literal, but for the most part, that's not the case for, shofar blowing. We don't say bring the 4-year-olds to shofar blowing. That's a really bad idea. It's a great way to not fulfill the mitzvah of shofar blowing. So why over here is it a minhag tov? Just a little more. We have other areas where it seems we really want to get the children into Megillah reading. Where else do we see the minhag to get the children into Megillah reading? What else do we do? Any thoughts? Which is for the children?
It is dressing up. right?
Dressing up. Okay, that's a good one. I was thinking about that also. I didn't yet see that that's for the children, but it should be, right?
Yeah,
it definitely makes the children excited. The original minhag wasn't necessarily children, but right, there's dressing up. There's another thing, actually, reading the psukim in the Megillah, right? So we read, the whole congregation jumps up and they say, Ishu, do you, Shushan Abira, whatever, the psukim certain psukim we say out loud. So why do we do that? So if you look in the Mishnah Berura in 17, so he says, Noakin Akali Kros Elo Psukim Bekoran. We read the following psukim out loud. Shem Iker Haskalas Hanes, because these are the beginning of the miracle. This sofo, and they are the end of the miracle. Behem Ishihudi, Umordechai Yatsa, Layhudim Haisa Ora, Kimordechai, he tells you which psukim to read. Why do we do it? Kidei the Orer HaKatanim. We want to wake up the Katanim. So Yishanu, make sure they don't fall asleep. Beyitnu Liba Malakriya. So Mishabura ends up by saying we want to make sure they're paying attention. But some Achronim argue this is for the 5-year-olds, the 6-year-olds, make sure that they're not falling asleep. Get them into it by getting the whole tzibor excited by the kriya. If you look back in the Ramah, right, we already mentioned this, but if you look back in source 7, who was the one who was making all the noise? So this minhag originally, was davka that the children, the tinokos. Tinokos is not a word which means 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, right? The Ramah in source 7. Odgas v'shenagwa tinokos. The little children, they're the ones who would do this minhag. So it seems like this was specifically something which the little children would do back in the times of when this minhag started. Nowadays we have testimony that the Chacham Tzvi we saw, and the Stipler, and the Chazon Ish, and a whole bunch of Gedolim nowadays do it. It certainly spread to the adults, the men, the women, etc. But the minhag originally was specifically for the children. So I'll tell you a beautiful idea which this Rav Yaffa, Talmud again of the Chasam Sofer, had. He says there's two mitzvos. There's actually another one, but I'll hold off on that. But there's at least two mitzvos which we say women are chayavin because of afen hayu be'oso hanes. What are the two of those? So we have Mikra Megillah, which is a good share for another time. But what exactly that chiyuv is the same as the normal one, the standard chiyuv. Is it just a derabanan chiyuv? But afen hayu be'oso hanes comes up by Megillah. It also comes up by Ner Chanukah and Arba Kosos, right? So Ner Chanukah, we're going to put it aside for a moment because that doesn't fit with this Dvar Torah, but maybe we can think about how that fits in. But by the Arba Kosos, so we have the Haggadah and the Arba Kosos. So women are chayav in that mitzvah because the same way that they were saved from Mitzrayim, we were saved from Mitzrayim, so they were saved from Mitzrayim. And the same thing by Megillah, that we were saved from destruction, so too the women were saved from destruction. So it says Rav Yaffa, it's not just the men and the women who are saved from these things. The little children also were saved from Mitzrayim, and they were also saved from Lashmid La'arog La'abed by Purim. So, although it's true, we can't say you're chayv to go and listen. The 5-year-old is not going to be able to pay attention to all the prakim of Megillah. It's just not possible. But to accomplish the same this goal of afhin hayu be'osa hanes, we have to try and involve them in some way. So he points out that the two places where we see this idea of trying to get the little kids involved are number one by the Seder, where we say to them, what are some examples of this? Right? Exactly. We're trying to tell them, we do this, why do we do this? That the children will ask, and we have stealing off the Dati Koman. We try and get the little kids involved, even though, they might not know exactly everything that's going to the Seder, but Afin Hayu Be'osa Hanes means let's get the 5-year-olds, the 6-year-olds involved, even though they really don't know exactly what's going on. Same thing by Mikra Megillah. The goal of this minhag was originally to get the kids, even who weren't at that stage of being chayv in the mitzvah, to go and be involved in the mitzvah of Megillah as a kium of Afen Hayu Be'oso Hanix. So I think that's a very beautiful idea, even if now that minhag has changed to go and impact the whole shul. So at the end of the day, this is a very long, long-standing minhag. It's a very, kadosh minhag, and we shouldn't change it. If you do first one and last one, if you do, like Chabad, if you do like every all 54, that's wonderful. And at the same time, the tension of the Megillah reading is, how can we make it as enjoyable as possible, as inviting as possible, and also to make sure that we fulfill the mitzvos b'shleimusam in their fullest form. So in the schus of hopefully us having a freilich and Purim, and also fulfilling the mitzvos to their greatest extent, so we should daven for Yeshua's bekarov in the same way that the people did in the times of Mordechai and Esther.